This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
The children's book, Are You With Me?, was a book published in March 7th of 2023, written by Corey Richens, and the book itself is about grief. It's a 42-page book that talks specifically to children, and it's a children-illustrated book to basically teach kids who have lost loved ones how to cope with it. It helps children understand the idea of death and see it more as peaceful rather than sad. Now, at first glance, this book looks perfect for children who are struggling with grief, and I think kids who experience death at a young age should learn how to cope with their pain in healthy ways. And a book like this would be perfectly well to help, but the backstory of how and why this book was created is that the author, Corey Richens, had previously, just a year before, murdered her husband, a husband that she shared 3 children with, and then shortly after murdering her husband, decided to write a book about grief for her kids to cope with the dead father that she killed herself. This story is about an evil woman named Corey Richens, and now there is a lot to get through, so we're just gonna hop right into it. Located in northern Utah lies the town of Camas, a small town of about 2,500 people and known for their beautiful landscapes and sceneries. Camas was also home to the Richens family. The Richens family comprised of 39-year-old Eric Richens, his wife 33-year-old Corey Richens, and their 3 boys together that we'll call C, A, and W. Eric Richens was born in Bountiful, Utah in 1982 to his father Gene and his mother Linda. Eric's favorite thing to do ever since he was a little kid was go hunting, and since he spent most of his life hunting, he became really good at it. He would often travel to places like Africa, Mexico, and Canada to just go on hunting trips and go to conventions. And he would often bring home trophies from all of the animals that he had hunted. He would later on, after high school, go to University of Utah, and while in college, he would create his own masonry for beeswax and honey. This company actually ended up getting a lot of traction, and prior to meeting Corey, Eric had been previously married around this time to a woman named Julie in 2009. But unfortunately, in 2011, Julie had passed away in a tragic car accident, and then 2 years later, in 2013, Eric would meet Corey. The couple would actually go on to have a son together before getting married in that year of 2013 in their backyard in Utah. And on that day, Eric would make Corey sign a prenup because at this time, Eric was making a good amount of money. He was really big into real estate and investments and the stock market, and he also had his own masonry business. So overall, Eric was very financially well-rounded. And so that is why he decided to sign a prenup. Corey was a real estate agent and had gotten her Bachelor's of Science in Healthcare Administration and her master's in human resources. Her first job was as an enhanced patient service and specialty clinic trainer until January of 2013 when she got a job as an administrative assistant at a hospital. Even though Corey primarily did medical, she was always doing things on the side, such as in 2010 when she started her own housekeeping business. She later bought offices in Park City, Utah and created K. Richens Realty, which was a realtor company specializing in mansions and million-dollar homes. Then, over time, the couple would go on to have 3 sons and seem like a very happy family. Eric was a wonderful father to his kids and had been a wonderful and faithful husband to his wife of 9 years, Corey. Online, the couple seemed to be extremely happy. They would go on family road trips, Eric would take his kids hunting. But in 2017, after 4 years of marriage, that's when Eric and Corey would find a home in Utah that was currently being built, and this was not just your typical home. It was one of those million-dollar mansions currently being built in Utah, and Corey wanted this home extremely bad. Now, when you look at the pictures of this house online, it doesn't even look like a home. It straight up looks like a community college. This place is huge. It was pretty luxurious, and it was also going for $2 million. And this huge, luxurious house in the small town of Camas, a lot of people complained about it, saying that the home disrupted the area's natural beauty, which is 100% true. I mean, this house is like something out of Beverly Hills, California, like not something you would see in a small town in Utah. A lot of people saw it as an eyesore, and in March of 2022, the house was about halfway done built and was currently still on the market with no one buying it just yet. And then on March 4th of 2022, at 3:22 a.m., police were called to a home, 282 Willow Court in Summit County, home to the Richens family. Corey had called the police saying that she had found Eric unresponsive lying at the end of her bed, and when paramedics showed up to the scene, Eric was pronounced dead at the scene. He died in his bedroom in his home, and Corey would go on to say that the night before, they were celebrating because they had finally bought the new $2 million home that was currently being built, and they were celebrating their victory. During their celebration, Eric was laying down on the bed drinking a Moscow Mule that Corey had made for him, and Corey said at the time that one of her sons had been having trouble sleeping lately due to night terrors. And on this specific night, his night terrors were getting pretty bad, and so she decided to read him a book in his bedroom, but then ended up falling asleep in there. She later woke up at 3 a.m. and then walked into her room and found Eric lying at the end of her bed and immediately called the police. Paramedics then took Eric to the hospital, and even the paramedics were very puzzled as to how Eric could have died. He was still in his 30s. He never really drank or smoked much. He was active and healthy. He was constantly hunting, so he was always outside. And so an autopsy and toxicology report would be done on Eric to find Eric had died from an overdose of fentanyl. 5 times the illegal dose was found in his system, and a lot of doctors believed that maybe Eric was sneaking drugs, that maybe he had been consuming fentanyl while Corey was in the other room and accidentally OD'd on it. After the death, it took a huge toll on Corey and the two kids, and Corey would begin posting to Facebook saying things like, quote, "Life is so damn hard without you here. The cards I have been dealt seems like a game that just can't be played. Hashtag please come home, Eric Richens." She was posting even more about how terrible it was to be a single mom and that she was doing the best that she could. And even a year later, she would also write a book called Are You With Me? And this book, according to the description, was, quote, "a heartwarming and reassuring book that gently guides children through the difficult experience of losing a loved one. Written by a loving mother who has personally faced this challenge, this book is designed to offer comfort and soul to young minds in a way that is both accessible and engaging. With vivid and colorful illustrations, Are You With Me follows the story of a child who has lost their father, but who is reminded that his presence still exists all around them, just like an angel watching over them. Whether it's playing at the park or simply enjoying a quiet moment at home, the child is comforted by the knowledge that their father is always by their side. As a book that celebrates the resilience of human spirit, Are You With Me is a must-read for any child who has experienced the pain of loss, and for parents who want to provide their children the emotional support that they need to heal and grow. A story of hope, healing, and unbreakable bond between parent and child." Corey would even go on to do publicity for the book, showing up on the radio show KPCW and even do an interview on Good Things Utah on ABC Network. In the ABC interview, she would discuss a new book that she had coming out soon called, quote, "Mom, How Far Away Is Heaven?" It was another book to help children cope with the loss of a loved one and overcome those rough patches. This one was focusing more on God and religion and would be about a little girl who lost her mom. Corey would also go on to say that she planned on making this book a whole series. She was going to make a book about a girl who lost her sibling, a boy who lost his mother, and in these interviews, something odd that people noticed about Corey. On the outside, Corey seemed like this widow who was now a single mother and had to take care of her 3 boys all alone, and whenever she would show up in interviews or doing publicity, she would say that she did have a loved one pass. It was her husband, but every time she mentioned her husband's passing, she would never say specifically how he passed away, but only said, quote, died unexpectedly. And this was something that she would say often, and it was never a specific reason or way as to how he died. He just died unexpectedly, which could mean a lot of things. But on April 7th, 2023, a month after her first book was released, she was arrested in her home in Utah for the murder of her husband, Eric. And when she was arrested, this was clearly a big shock to everyone because this woman had built her entire brand on a damsel mother who had lost her husband unexpectedly and now has to cope with being a single mother while learning how to take care of herself by herself. But now we're starting to see that not only was it suspected Corey had put fentanyl in his Moscow mule, but she had also attempted to kill Eric once before on Valentine's Day. And Eric was so fearful for his life that he confided in a friend saying that he thinks his wife Corey is poisoning him. And this news was as shocking as when it also came out that Corey didn't even write her first book. Corey used a book writing service called Book Writing Lane, which is kind of like ghost writing. It's about $2,500 to $6,000 per book, depending on how long you want it. And you just send in ideas, structures, etc., and they write the book right for you. They also do marketing, illustration, and everything like that. And the reason why people knew that she had used this site is because Corey left a review on the site on March 15th saying, quote, "These guys did an amazing job at taking what I wanted illustrated and my words and ideas for the book and bring it to life. Highly recommended." And when Corey was arrested, that's when all of the details of what the police were working on behind the scenes during the year, right at the time of Eric's death, the police knew that something was off. Because why would Eric, a man who seemed to have a good life, very healthy and happy, buy fentanyl? And furthermore, take it in his own home, alone in his bedroom, with his wife and kids, and especially not telling his wife that he was taking it. Police do a little bit of digging and find that Corey and Eric had 4 life insurance policies together, as well as owning multiple properties. And before Eric's death, it was known that Corey had changed her life insurance policy, his life insurance policy, and made herself the sole beneficiary of his beeswax company. Now, when these switches were done, Corey thought that she was slick and that she got away with it, but the banks actually called Eric about his life insurance policy being changed and his beneficiary. And so once Eric was notified of this, he immediately changed it back. And when Eric brought it up to Corey, she acted very nonchalant, saying that maybe it could have been a hacker or something. And weirdly enough, this wasn't the first odd thing that Corey had done. A few years before, while they were on vacation in Greece, Corey had made him a drink that later made him violently ill. Eric even told his sister while he was on this trip about the occurrence and said to her, quote, "This might sound crazy. I think she tried to poison me. I think she tried to kill me." Now, after this Greece trip, Eric was able to recover quite quickly. But in February of 2022, on Valentine's Day, which was about 2.5 weeks before Eric's death, Corey made Eric a sandwich. And after a single bite of the sandwich, Eric grew violently ill. He began puking immediately and had to give himself an EpiPen to save his life because he couldn't breathe. And the next day at work, Eric confided in a coworker, saying that he thinks his wife tried to poison him the day before, and he also doesn't think it was the first time. After this happened, Eric started to become more fearful for his life and planned on leaving. So he secretly changed the beneficiary in his will from Corey to his sister. Eric also believes that Corey was cheating throughout the entire relationship as well, after finding flirty text messages with other men. Now, I know what you're thinking. Why didn't he just get a divorce? I mean, after the first poisoning attempt, why would you still stay? Why would you still stay? And the main reason why Eric stayed was for his kids. He loved his kids and he didn't want them growing up in a broken home. He wanted to see his boys every day, wake up with them, go to sleep with them, make them food when they're hungry, take care of them when they're sick. And he knew that if he divorced Corey, she would probably make sure that he never saw his kids again, and he wasn't ready for that risk. Eric also contacted a divorce attorney in 2020, but never went through with it. Eric knew that if Corey were to do anything to him, it would be out of yearn for his money. Corey was obsessed with money, and it was also known that during this time, she was swimming in hundreds and thousands of dollars worth of college debt. There were also multiple occasions that Eric found out Corey was using his money without asking, like withdrawing $100,000 of their home equity, as well as Corey withdrawing another $250,000 from Eric's bank account, as well as spending $30,000 on all of his credit cards. Now, as I said, there was this huge $2 million home being built in Utah that Corey absolutely loved. Corey was a real estate agent, and she thought $2 million was perfect for a home like this, and she wanted to buy it before the home was fully built so she could spend time renovating and flipping it and resell it. But this was Eric's money, you know? He was not gonna spend $2 million of his own dollars on a house and a project that he wasn't passionate about. And also, Eric hated the home. He, like other residents, thought that it was an eyesore, that it was too much space and it didn't feel like a home. It felt more like an IKEA showroom. And so it was suspected that around this time, Eric started really putting his foot down and saying, no, this is a $2 million home and I'm not spending that much for a garbage house. And Corey took offense. Police would find all of this stuff happening when Eric was alive, and even Corey's actions following Eric's death would be a lot weirder. The day after Eric passed away, Corey would throw a huge party at her house with her kids, and she told no one at the party that Eric had died the night before. The party was because she said that the day before, her and Eric had finally closed on the $2 million home and she wanted to celebrate. And her guests, I'm assuming, didn't really ask where Eric was, and the only reason her guests found out that Eric was dead was because Eric's family came to the home and told Corey off and said that if she had murdered Eric for his will and his money, Eric had actually changed his will, and they provided documents to show Corey. And Eric's family straight up told Corey that she wouldn't be getting a single dime because Eric had secretly changed everything to his sister. Because not only did Eric make his sister the sole beneficiary of all of his money, she also was the sole beneficiary of his beeswax company. And after all of these documents were showed to Corey, she became so enraged that she started attacking Eric's sister. But nonetheless, after the party, she continued all of her time working on this new home, and 2 weeks later, she would flip the mansion and put it back on the market for $3.7 million. So Corey is working quite quickly to renovate this house and doesn't really seem to be sad about her husband's death at all. It seemed like she already had plans of doing this, and now with her husband gone, she can follow through on them. Not only were her actions extremely odd, police would get access to Corey's phone history and would receive some more suspicious info. On the night Eric died, Corey said that she went into her son's room to read him a story, then she fell asleep in her son's room. Corey also said that when this happened, she had left her phone in her and Eric's bedroom, but when police would search her phone, they would find that her phone had been locked and unlocked many times during the hour leading up to the police being called at 3:22 a.m. There was also texts being sent and received during this time, which were all deleted. Corey told paramedics when they arrived that she tried to perform CPR, but this couldn't have been because when the paramedics found Eric, Eric had blood all in the inside of his mouth and there was no blood found on Corey. Although this was weird, it was not direct evidence pointing Corey to the time of the crime, until a friend of Corey's that goes by CL contacted police and told them that Corey had bought fentanyl from them a while back. CL would go on to tell the police that between the months of December 2021 and February of 2022, Corey had contacted them asking for some pain medication for some investors she knew. CL gave Corey some pain meds, and then 2 weeks later, Corey contacted them again asking for something stronger, saying she wanted, quote, some of that Michael Jackson stuff. Corey then bought 15 to 30 pills of fentanyl for $900, and 3 days later, on Valentine's Day, is when Eric would eat a bite of the sandwich that he got insanely ill from. After this, Corey contacted the dealer again, asking for more, and paid another $900 for 15 to 30 pills. And 6 days after she had picked him up, Eric passed away. And as I said, the day after Eric's death, that is when Corey would follow through and buy the $2 million home. And then later on that night, after officially buying the home, she would would have that party where she later attacked Eric's sister because she found out she wasn't a part of the will anymore. And then a day after that, Corey had called a locksmith to the home to drill into a safe that belonged to Eric because she thought the safe had $100,000 inside of it. The day after Eric died, Corey told police that they were celebrating closing on the house, but that would be false. Eric's family would tell the police that Eric had found out Corey had been making motions and plans to buy the house, and that day he had put his foot down and said he wasn't doing it. Apparently, Corey had been going ahead and using all of Eric's money without him knowing to put down deposits and pay for application fees, all without his knowledge. And on this night, he had called Corey out for this, saying that he knew everything and that also he had plans on cutting her out of his will. Now, at the time, Eric had already cut Corey out of the will, but he didn't want to say that to her, so he just said he had plans on cutting her out of the will, even though he had already done it. Corey was under the impression that if Eric died, she would get a payout of $3.5 million, but as I said, she wouldn't receive any of that because Eric changed the will over to his sister. And once Corey found out that he had already changed the will, she tried to dispute it and get the money, which this dispute was rejected. And then in June of 2023, her trial would begin. Corey would have her first hearing and argue the entire time to be let out on bail. It was a 4-hour hearing, and the court would present evidence, several witnesses, a cell phone analyst, and the leading detective on the case to ensure that she wouldn't get bail. And of course, after all of this, her attempt at bail was denied. In November of 2023, while in prison, Corey had made motions to dismiss her whole case, which I find kind of funny because they literally have conversations with her buying fentanyl, and then 6 days later, her husband dies because of a fentanyl overdose, and she just wants the entire thing thrown out the window. And so obviously, the judge denied this. And in January of 2024, new evidence would be released saying that a medical examiner also found traces of quetiapine in Eric's stomach, which is a medication to treat bipolar disorder and schizophrenia. Now, Eric was not on quetiapine, but Corey was, and the medical examiner would even go on to say, quote, "There was a lot of fentanyl found in his stomach. A lot of it hadn't even been metabolized in his blood yet. There was so much poison that he was administered that it hadn't even gotten into his bloodstream. Had the amount of drugs that were found in his stomach gotten into anybody's bloodstream, it would have killed an army of people." Police would also later find on Corey's phone that after Eric's death, she would Google things such as, quote, "Can FBI find deleted messages?" and, quote, "What is a lethal dose of fentanyl?" Her explanation for why she Googled these things was because she wanted to be more educated about certain topics in the case in case she was being accused. And Corey, as of 2024, is currently sitting in Summit County Jail awaiting trial. As of February of 2024, which is the most recent update about the case, there was no update about a trial date, but a lot of new information had been released. While in prison, Corey had sent a 60-page manuscript to a fellow inmate that was said to include evidence about her crimes. Now, these letters were sent out in 4 different envelopes and were said to be not enough to show at trial, but the court is currently trying to fight it. Prison guards would also find an unsent letter in Corey's cell titled, quote, "Walk the Dog, page 1. And in this letter, it was presumably a letter that she planned on sending to her mom, and in it detailed Corey's request of what Corey's brother Ronnie needs to say at her trial in order to help her. Now, this letter is quite long, but I will read it because it's quite interesting, and I feel like it really just shows you a deeper look at the narcissistic and selfish mind of Corey. "Walk the Dog, page 1. Sky is saying, even if the gummies have fentanyl in them, the prosecutor will say, I tried to put fentanyl in the gummies so they would have them. Stupid, I know, but that's what she's thinking. We will still test them though. However, she wants to link Eric getting drugs and pills from Mexico, so we need that kind of connection. Her private investigator is doing some research on the ranch/cartel place Eric would stay at. Here's what I'm thinking, but I just have to talk to Ronnie. He would probably have to testify to this, but it's super short and not a lot to it. He will need to tell Sky at the meeting next week upon information and belief, which, pause for context, Sky is Corey's lawyer in all of this. So, continuing. He will need to tell Sky at the meeting next week. Upon information and belief, this is what he would say. A year prior to Eric's death, Ronnie was over watching a football game one Sunday, and Eric and Ronnie were drinking and talking about Eric's trips to Mexico. Eric told Ronnie that he gets his pain pills and fentanyl from Mexico from the workers at the ranch, and Eric told Ronnie that he doesn't want to tell me because I would get mad because I always said he just gets high every night and won't take care of the kids. In parentheses, there are pictures in my phone of Eric passed out on the floor in the chair. Ronnie should have these texts from Eric talking about getting high as well. Eric told Ronnie he keeps them in an allergy pill bottle in his work truck so I wouldn't find them. Ronnie never told me about the conversation, and as you can see from that letter, it's quite clear Corey is insanely guilty. Why else would she be forcing Ronnie to make up this entire story about how Eric had gotten fentanyl from Mexico? And not only would he be blaming these people living on a ranch in Mexico, that means the police would have to go out to that ranch and see who sold him fentanyl, the fentanyl that killed him, and thus involving even more innocent people into the mix. But thankfully, this page was found before it was sent off, and after this, the court had restricted any contact between Corey and her mom and her brother until after Corey's sentencing. The court is trying to use this letter as witness tampering charge, but Corey's defense lawyer would say, quote, "It isn't witness tampering because it didn't go anywhere and it was never communicated to anyone. The document was private and should never have been released. The judge denied the state's motion, saying prosecutors have failed to provide witness tampering." And so that charge was unfortunately thrown, but as for Corey today, she is still waiting in the Summit County prison awaiting trial. And as for the aftermath of everything, it's unknown where the three boys went, but it's said from some sources they were currently staying with Eric's side of the family. And as for the mansion that Corey had built, today it still remains abandoned. And yeah, that is the end of today's case. If you guys found this case interesting, make sure to give it a thumbs up and subscribe if you are on YouTube, or if you are on Spotify, Apple, wherever you can find podcasts, make sure to rate it 5 stars because it helps me out a lot. And yeah, as always, I hope you guys have a wonderful rest of your day. Make sure to be safe out there, go outside today, get a little bit of sunlight. And as always, I love you, I love you, I love you, and I will see you guys next week. Bye.